Reading this morning comes from Colossians chapter 3, and you can find that on page 984 of the Bibles. We're reading from Colossians chapter 3. And we're going to start at verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these things, the wrath of God is coming. And these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and is in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Well, let's seek the Lord's help again before we explore this scripture together. So please join me in prayer. Father God, we thank you for this scripture. Thank you for the glorious truths it points to about who we are in the Lord Jesus. I thank you that we have died to this world through him. We've been raised and given new life. Thank you that we are a beloved children. Children of God through faith. And we therefore pray, Lord, that you would teach us this morning, how we might live aright as your children. And we pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Oh, I wonder if any of you ever saw the movie. It came out last year. It was called Time Out of Mind. You ever heard of that film? It was a movie that tracked the story of a homeless man, a man called George, as he drifted from city to city. And a little-known fact about that movie is that while playing the leading role, Richard Gere was, in fact, actually confused with a homeless man on one occasion. In fact, one kind-hearted soul even brought him a bag full of food while he filmed on the streets of New York City. Why the confusion? Well, it was because of the way he was dressed. His clothes perfectly captured the character that he was playing. And it's true, we often identify people by the things that they wear. We think of the police officer's uniform, or perhaps the white coat and the stethoscope of the doctor. What we discover in our passage today is that the Christian should also wear very distinctive clothing. Now, of course, I don't mean that literally. I'm not suggesting that there is anything especially holy about wearing a suit, or something unholy about blue jeans. Rather, I'm referring to our behavior. In the Bible, clothing is often a picture of how we act and speak, or even think. And the scriptures are constantly reminding us to dress in a way that is appropriate. Our actions and our attitudes should reflect the inward reality, of who we are as people who've been rescued by Jesus. In fact, this is the main point of our text this morning. This is the life-changing truth that we discover in this passage. God has given us a new identity in Jesus. It's now time that we begin to live in a way that reflects that glorious reality. God has given us a new identity in Jesus, and now it's time to live in a way that reflects that glorious reality. Now, over the last few weeks, we've been working our way through Paul's letter to the Colossians. And if you have been here, you will know that the overall point of this whole series and this letter has been to reassure us. In the chapters we've looked at so far, Paul has systematically been rebuilding our confidence in Christ. And why has he been doing that? Why has that been so pressing for him? Well, it's because his readers have been targeted by religious bullies. False teachers who look down on other Christians in that church because they didn't follow certain rules or didn't have amazing visions or experiences of God. And Paul has been reminding his readers that none of those things actually matter. What really matters is putting our faith in Jesus. If we have Jesus Christ, we have everything. There's no need to feel second-rate or insecure if we're trusting in him. And now what we see in chapter 3 is, having spent two chapters firming up that foundation of confidence, the aim of chapter 3 is to help us know what that confidence looks like in practice. And what difference does it make to have confidence that we're right with God through Jesus? Or how should our lives be changed if we understand that Jesus has done everything it takes to secure our place in heaven? Well, the answer of our text is this: that kind of confidence should come out in the way that we dress. In particular, it will cause us to put off our earthly rags, to lay aside those sinful behaviors that belong to our old life. And instead, we see here a call to put on our heavenly robes, the heavenly robes that Christ gives, to begin to live life a new and better way with his help. And those are going to be our 2 points this morning. You can see them there on the outline. Firstly, put off your earthly rags. And secondly, put on your heavenly robes. Firstly, then, put off your earthly rags. And here is the point. If you are confident of your new identity, if you are sure about where you're going to spend eternity, then what you need to do is to get rid of everything that just doesn't fit with that reality. Now that you're a child of God, you need to stop dressing like an orphan. Now that you have a home, an eternal home in heaven, you need to stop dressing like you live on the street. We see that in verses 5 through 9. So let's read them again, shall we? Look down with me at Colossians 3 and verse 5. Now put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. Now, in these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. And do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Now, several years ago, I used to work in central London. One of my co-workers at the time was much more fit and healthy than I am. I mentioned last week, the gym is hardly my favorite place. But this friend of mine was so fit and healthy that he used to run to work every day. And now, to get the full picture, you need to know that he actually lived 13 miles from the office. So this guy had actually been SES Special Forces in a former life. And so I've got to say, I just could not compete. But you can imagine, after running a half marathon, he hardly looked or smelled ready for a day in the office. Before he started the day, he would have to change out of those stinky, smelly clothes, take a shower, and put on his suit. And what we learn here in these verses is that something similar happens when we become Christians. In verse 9, Paul speaks of us putting off the old man, the stinky, smelly clothes that used to be a part of who we were. That life that we inherited from Adam, a life that was distorted or corrupted by sin, a life that ultimately led to eternal misery. Now, Paul tells us it's time to throw those clothes out or to drop them off at Goodwill. And to help us to do that, Paul actually spells out exactly what those clothes look like, doesn't he? He gives us two laundry lists in verses 5 through 8. In verse 5, he targets our private lives, our private lives. Now, what becomes clear here is that our old clothes were clothes of self-centered desire, sinful lust and envy. Now, what we see in verse 5 is a life that's lived all about me, me, me. Something actually perfectly illustrated in the last week as we've looked at the Black Friday shopping. It seems to get more and more aggressive every year. And yet this amounts to idolatry, says Paul. Laying aside God, laying aside his law as we hanker after other things. Self-centered desires. Verse 5, though, is about our private lives. The second list comes in verse 8. Really, it's about our lives in public, isn't it? If the first was about self-centered desires, what we see here in this second list is about self-serving deceit when it comes to our relationship with others. There's a special concern in this verse about the way that we speak, the way that we use our words so often to manipulate. I think of the way that we sometimes gossip just to make our way into that inner circle, or the way perhaps we tell crude jokes just to be a bit more popular with our friends. And yet Paul says we need to put these things away. We need to put them away. Why? Because these old stinky clothes no longer fit. Like my friend, when he arrived at the office, we need to understand being a Christian means changing our clothes, putting off these earthly rags, being cleansed by Jesus, and starting to live a new and better way. And yet, even as I say that, we have to admit it's far from easy. It can be very painful to change the way that we live. Now, Paul even uses the language here of putting these things to death. And letting go of sin can sometimes feel like an amputation. Now, why is that? Now, why is it so difficult? Well, I wonder if it's just because our old clothes have just become so comfortable. Now, we know them well, and we like the way they fit. Now, Sherilyn and I, she's not here to defend herself right now, but we have this running joke about shoes, and no pun intended there. Although it could be a joke about running shoes, I don't know. But some of us have no problem throwing out old shoes and buying new ones. And I'll be upfront, that really is my wife. Now, there are others of us who really only own one or two pairs of shoes, and I'm looking around the room and seeing if there are any other men who are like this. And we only own one or two pairs of shoes, and we tend to hold on to those shoes until the soles are literally falling off, and even then we try to wear them just a few more days. Why is that? Why do I struggle to replace my old shoes with new ones? Well, first of all, I hate shoe shopping. That's part of the problem. But the problem is also that those old shoes are just so comfy. They've been worn in. And getting a new pair feels something like a risk, doesn't it? I'm seeing some nodding heads. But before we come too close to analyzing the psychology of my foibles with shoes, let's focus on this text, because the text reminds us actually that the same thing could be true of us as believers. Our old sinful habits come so naturally to us. They seem to fit so well. Like those comfy clothes that we wear while we're chilling out over the weekend. And yet following Christ, living a new way, seems like a challenge, even a risk. Will living God's way be as good? Will it be as enjoyable as living in sin? Does Jesus really know best when it comes to my happiness? Or when it comes to the future of my life or the life of my children? That's where everything we've seen so far in Colossians comes in, and is so important, isn't it? Because what we've learned is that Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is the creator and the savior of the universe. In Jesus Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. What is more, Jesus Christ has actually changed us. He's made us children of God through faith. The truth is, actually, those old clothes don't fit in quite the way they used to. We have become new people through Jesus Christ. And knowing that should give us confidence. It should give us the confidence to lay aside those earthly rags and instead seek to follow him. And that brings us nicely to the second thing. For having called us to put off our earthly rags, to lay aside our sinful behavior, what we see here is a call to put on the heavenly robes that belong to us in Jesus. So here's the second point, put on your heavenly robes. And the point here is this, that the Christian life isn't just about putting off sinful habits. It's also about replacing those habits with a more righteous way of living. This is the second thing, and really it's the focus of verses 12 through 14. But before we look at those verses in detail, I just want to underline how important this point is. Because you see, I've noticed all too often Christians tend to focus on the first of these two points. What I mean is, you sometimes get the impression as if the whole of the Christian life is saying no to sinful behavior rather than saying yes to the right thing. Thou shalt not seem the favorite words of some Christians in some circles, and you get the impression that holiness is an entirely negative thing. It's all about stopping sinning. Now, if I can address the kids again, maybe this is especially how you might be tempted to think about Christianity. It's the way I thought about Christianity when I was your age. I used to think Christianity was just a long list of fun things that I couldn't do, but that my non-Christian friends could. And yet verses 12 through 14 It reminds us that being a Christian is much more positive than that. It's not just about saying no to something, it's about saying yes to something better. God wants to replace our self-centered, self-serving, self-destructive lives with something far better. So look again with me at verse 12. I put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And now let's just pause for a moment and compare this, a list of characteristics, with the ones that we saw in the previous verses. When we do that, we notice that all of those things were self-centered, self-serving. I once had a friend who said that sin is an eye disease. Sin is an eye disease. The problem is, I is in the middle. Now I'll let you think about that one for a moment. But if that old way of life was all about me, if it was all about being dressed to impress, let's say, then this new way is all about being dressed for service. It is to live a life not of self-serving, self-centeredness, but rather a life of self-giving service towards other people. Paul mentions compassion. That is a heartfelt concern for the misfortune of other people. He speaks of kindness. That is a generous disposition that moves us to actually meet that person's needs. Humility. That is not thinking of ourselves too highly. Meekness. Considering others better than ourselves and stooping to serve them. We're called here to show patience, to bear with one another's sins and foibles, to forgive them. Not because we can justify their behavior, but rather in recognition that we ourselves have been forgiven by the Lord Jesus. As we read these verses, I wonder if it strikes you that they're so realistic, aren't they? They remind us that as we live the Christian life, we don't just wrestle with our own sins. We find ourselves all too often wrestling with the sins of those who are around us. And that is why love is so important. It's why it binds all of these other things in perfect harmony, says Paul. Now, after all, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, that's just really what love looks like when it comes into contact with sinful people. But again, if putting off our old clothes is hard, now how much more difficult does it seem to be to put on these new clothes? And I'm not saying we don't like the way that they look. They're the kind of clothes that look incredibly good on the hanger or are incredibly attractive on other people. But when we begin to try them on ourselves, we find that they snag and stretch in all the wrong places. These are traits that look incredibly attractive in the person of the Lord Jesus, who had compassion and meekness to leave the glory of heaven, to share good news with the poor, to wash his disciples' smelly feet, and even to go to the cross to die for our redemption. And yet when we try and take these traits on, how difficult it is. I see the problem is most of us I really just like to stick with what we're used to. We like those old familiar clothes, and it takes confidence to try a new look, to try and live in a way that's different, doesn't it? It takes confidence to forget myself long enough just to reach out and serve another person, to let go of my own wants in order to meet someone else's needs. How is this even possible for us? Well, actually, this is the main point that we're making. It is only possible if we understand who we are in Christ Jesus. It's only possible if we understand that God has already made a definitive change in our hearts. He's already made us new people. He's already given us a new identity. So look at verse 12 with me. And look at the way that Paul reasons here. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts. Put on then, as God's chosen ones. That is, because you are God's chosen ones, because you are holy, because you are beloved. Now, Paul doesn't tell us here to behave a certain way in order to become children of God. No, he tells us to behave in this way because that is who we have become through Jesus. Now, Paul doesn't even tell us here to become holy. No, he tells us that we are holy already, now that we should live a holy life by faith. Now, here is the good news of our passage this morning, that God has already done the hard part when it comes to this change of clothing. In Christ, God has brought the definitive change. And therefore, we could say we are like the prodigal son. The prodigal son who returns home, not just to a father's welcome, but also to be clothed in new garments, robes that fit the party that his father is hosting. In his grace, through Jesus Christ, God has done everything it takes to make us ready for that eternal party. He's given us all of the clothing that we need, the new clothes, the holy clothes, and by his grace, he helps us put off that old way and begin to live this new way. And so as we start out this Advent season, as we look forward, not just to Christmas, but to eternity with Jesus Christ, hopefully you can see from our text this morning, it is time to put off those old earthly rags, to get rid of that sinful behavior that no longer fits with who we are and where we're going, and instead to put on the heavenly robes that God has provided as we eagerly anticipate that day when we will see him face to face. And let's pray, shall we? Let's pray.